report.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Roger. Would it be okay to do public forum before that, because some folks have been here a long time?
How many people do we have for public forum?
One.
There was another.
There's two.
Four.
That's a good point.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's go ahead. Let me have the public forum cards right now.
They're right here.
They are here?
Yeah.
Okay, Steve Shemek, followed by Frank Oslill, Mr. Dugan.
Gosh, I apologize, you guys.
Mr. Perelman, if you're going to speak, I'd like your card now. Okay.
If I forget to say, happy holidays, everyone. I hope you have a safe drive home and safe holidays. So, my name is Steve Shimmick. I represent Monterey Coast Keeper and occasionally the Otter Project. As some of you may know, Monterey Coast Keeper has two major programs. Urban runoff, we're really active in stormwater, as you know. And irrigated ag, which is something that we haven't been before you talking about very much. So I just wanted to give you an update on what we're doing with irrigated ag. We have one person, Andy Hess, working full-time on the ag waiver compliance issues, full-time, every day. Monterey Coast Keeper is perhaps the only California water keeper working in support of the waiver program. The waiver program is not popular with the rest of the water keepers. Our first step was to create a list of growers not enrolled in the waiver program. We found that 1,772 growers were enrolled, 435 in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties alone are not enrolled. That appears to be a greater percentage than some people previously thought. Of those 435, 14 are growing on more than 1,000 acres. 80 more fall into the 100 to 1,000 acre range. This means that there's some big operations not enrolled. We do want to throw in a caveat that there's a lot of human error in all this. We're comparing lists, and humans are comparing human-created lists. We will be sending all 435 growers information in English and in Spanish on how to comply with the program. We also have an investigative water monitoring program. We are absolutely dedicated to seeing the waiver succeed, and we want to see the non-participants become enrolled. That is our goal. We're also talking with a lot of people and collecting information about what are the challenges and successes of the waiver. We look forward to working with growers, farm associations, the regional board, and staff as the waiver renewal is discussed. We look forward to participating on any working group that may be formed. Thank you. Happy holidays. Any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Shemek? Okay. Happy holidays to you, too. Mr. Oslill, did I get it right? Not even close.
My name's Frank Oslill.
Okay.
Los Osos. Okay, the subject matter will be seawater intrusion in the lower aquifer. And I'm concerned about the continued degradation of the Los Osos water basin caused by citizens overdrafting the basin, leading to further seawater intrusion, which is fatal to the freshwater aquifer. In the early 90s, groundwater was recognized as being impacted by seawater intrusion as well as the nitrate concentration. Okay, now I'm going to, in 2005, the Carrillo report stated that seawater is moving 60 feet a year in Zone D and is at the level of the county library near Pasadena Drive in Los Osos. In Zone E, seawater is moving 54 feet per year. Though it says in 2005, the report, I don't know when, I haven't found out yet when that particular measurement was taken, and then it takes time to write a report. So you can figure that it's been at least 4 years that we don't know where the seawater is at this time, how far it's moved in, because they did recommend another study for October, I think it was 2008. In February 2007, the County Resource Capacity Study for Los Osos Water Supply stated that the water basin is being overdrafted by more than 600 acre feet per year from the lower aquifer. The overdraft is what's causing the seawater intrusion. In March of 2007, the county certified a level 3 severity for the Los Osos water supply due to seawater intrusion. On April 22, 2008, the county supervisor approved a plumbing retrofit ordinance for sale of new and existing homes in Los Osos. And I'm going to bring in AB 2701, which I think you might be familiar with. I don't know. Was passed by the legislators and signed into law September 2006. And why I'm bringing this up is that if you go back before 2006, it's June 21st, you would see that the bill actually reads something different than what I'm going to read you. But it was modified due to testimony by two citizens to have the that were concerned about the water basin and the prohibition zone. The county may undertake any effort necessary to constrain and operate a community wastewater collection treatment system to meet the wastewater collection and treatment needs within the district. Used to say prohibition zone only. These efforts may include programs and projects for recharging aquifers, prevent seawater intrusion, managing groundwater resources to the extent that they are related to the construction and operation of the community wastewater collection and treatment system. Seawater intrusion is a serious problem in Los Osos. The proposed project in a current draft EIR will dispose of 842 of the total of 1290 acre feet of effluent through this, spraying it into the Tanini fields outside Los Osos Water Basin. Can I finish one sentence?
You can wrap it up, sure.
Okay, thank you. This water board has taken action on nitrate pollution of the upper aquifer. I do not understand why this board is not taking action to deal with the ongoing intrusion of seawater, which is destroying our lower aquifer. Thank you.
So you're opposed to the disposal of the effluent on the Tonini fields, is that?
I'm concerned with that much out of 1,290 build-out. I think they say that's the amount on build-out, 1,290 acre feet. By placing 442 acre feet on a spray field, for the idea is that it would be evaporated out. 48 acre feet max would be pumped up to the Broadison site. That's what the EIR is saying at this currently.
Yeah, we haven't seen the EIR. It's not something that comes.
That's
before,
why I'm bringing this forward at this time, because it will come your way, and I hope that you do comment on the EIR. I don't know if you can. On the draft. Excuse me. This is the draft.
Staff will have a chance to review it and submit comments.
I hope so.
The board doesn't itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever represents, I'd be interested to see that. But the concern is that we have the seawater intrusion, and
There
are problems with the draft part. If you look, you know, just a quick thing. They're saying that by removing the septic system, the 4,800 systems out of the basin can cause 90 acre feet of seawater, increase the seawater by 90 acre feet a year. Mm-hmm. But then in the same paragraph below, it says that diverting these effluent discharges elsewhere could increase seawater intrusion by 90 acre feet to 550 acre feet. A build-out seawater intrusion is estimated to increase to 681 acre feet. So I have to, one of my goals is to write, say there's some confusion with your numbers, because on one hand they're saying 90 in two places, and then they move on to the more extensive number.
Thank you for your comments.
You're welcome.
Okay. Mr. Briggs, I know the seawater intrusion issue is an old issue in Los Osos. That's getting resolved through the treatment plant design and construction, or what?
Not necessarily.
They're getting anxious to talk.
I was actually just suggesting that we were probably talking to the same issue, so if you wanted to wait after.
Okay, go ahead. Mr. Dugan, and then Mr. Perlman.
Thank you, Los Osos. As you know, the draft EIR is out. I have been encouraged by the county process of late, and I've liked what I've heard. But what is going on in the community is that what was mentioned was the wastewater going to the Tanini fields and being sprayed. I don't believe that the county is going to waste that water out there like that. I believe they're going to bring 400,000 gallons back to the Broderson site, and there's other individual sites within Los Osos that they're going to use for discharge. But I think they're going to proceed with the ISJ, where all the purveyors and the county get together water and use that water as they see fit. The problem I see here is that, first of all, we are in drought condition in California, and the upper aquifer is not going to be recharged by a natural process because of a lack of rain. Once you start pulling all that water out, that we will have seawater intrusion in the upper aquifer as well, and the recharge is not available. And I believe that the county is ready to address that, but there are persons in the community that are standing by to obstruct the process because it's not part of the wastewater project. There's no reuse element in the wastewater project, just a discharge element. And I think they're going to address this through the ISJ with all the other purveyors. But I think the regional board staff, in their review of the draft EIR, should probably state that there are sections of the California State Water Code that such as 13510, that is, the state has a primary interest in the development of facilities to recycle water, and so on and so forth, to where you have the ability as a board to require, if there is a threat of seawater intrusion in the upper aquifer, to require the county and the purveyors to bring that water back and work to do that. And I believe you'd have the power to do that. But I think there should be something written that people in the community can read by your staff as a response to the draft EIR that will state that you not put the county on the spot over it, but to say these are the elements that we would like to see in the wastewater project vis-a-vis the ISJ. Make that connection that way. That way these people who have concerns who will obstruct the wastewater project because it's not in there and slow down the progress, and we don't want that. So we need that kind of assurance that this board and the staff is looking at this very closely. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. And happy holidays. Mr. Perlman.
Honorable Chair, I will be addressing the similar comments. My first comment is I have done some review of the draft EIR, and I do find that there are some emerging contaminants. You'll recognize them as ionic sodium and ionic chloride, possibly going up to a 0.9 grams per liter concentration. And those are threatening that aquifer. And while I am supportive of the county, I was one of the first of the Move the Sewer group to support the county publicly. The sewer has been moved too far, both in terms of distance and in terms of return of these waters to an aquifer that has been in existence for 8,000 years and has a structure that cannot be built by man and will actually filter water if properly addressed, and that requires interagency cooperation. And that's what I'm appealing for. At this point, please just be aware of the draft EIR, of the comments of the gentleman who came before me, because I was, like him, a candidate in the recent LOCSD elections, and I have to tell you that this particular election was not about stop the sewer. It was not about move the sewer. It was not even about Stepstag versus gravity. It was, in fact, about the Pizzle-Diff lawsuit. Against, I believe, this water board. And that was a matter of concern for me. I am a member of Los Osos Community Advisory Council. It is a representative of my community. Ever since having joined that group, I have tried to represent as many people as possible within that community rather than a special interest group. And if you allow me to continue on the issue of the election, I was the first candidate within that election, and I'm paraphrasing myself, which I'm allowed to do, and this has to do with the matter of the lawsuit. No potential director should commit to a final policy regarding a closed session item until they have had the opportunity to review the item in closed session, and that would not be legal available until after the election. And I ran afoul of certain interests in Los Osos, and for that reason, I essentially, let's just say, well, it was a vote for one. There were two positions open, and a large group chose to support a candidate who was using a vote for one candidacy. I believe Los Osos is extremely fascinating, and there is a very special relationship between this water board and Los Osos. But I believe you should continue to examine Los Osos in terms of the lessons from it. Thank you very much for your assistance.
Thank you, and you have a good holiday, too.
To you all.
And I wasn't grinning at you, but Mr. Dugan put papers over his face when you were searching for some descriptors. He made me laugh. I'm going to blame him.
I've committed political suicide many times over in Los Osos, and I'm still around. Thank you.
Okay. So, Mr. Briggs, if you could just educate the rest of us, what would be the board's or the staff's normal process for reviewing an EIR of a project like this?
Well, we comment on it.
We do, okay.
And I don't know exactly what the status is as far as this EIR, and I'm looking at Harvey to see if you recall where we are, but I can say in terms of, and by the way, it's unfortunate, but this is not the only coastal basin in our region that has right. seawater intrusion. Salinas and Pajaro are kind of the poster childs for that, poster children, I guess it would be. And it's getting late. What we've done in Salinas as an example, and Mr. Dugan, I think, referred to recycling. So we provided a lot of assistance and steered state board funding towards the Castroville Irrigation Project, which they did put in and has been very successful and has counteracted, I'm not sure the numbers, but something on a third, on the order of a third of the overdraft seawater intrusion. Certainly with low impact development, with recharge, and with wetlands projects that we've had with recharge. Those are all factors in terms of combating the lack of recharge or the imbalance. And then most recently and currently, we're working on a irrigation and nutrient efficiency grant, which has the potential to have major implications on the water use in any of the agricultural areas, including the Salinas and the Pajaro. And some of the figures that we've seen for just a handful of crops indicate that there are potential savings in terms of irrigation efficiency that would actually more than compensate for the entire overdraft. Those are the kind of things that we've done in the more severely intruded areas of Salinas and Pajaro. Now, as far as where we are with the EIR process, Harvey, can you tell us?
Right. Harvey Packard. Now that we're done working on Morro Bay, or I should say David Macaro is done working on Morro Bay, he will have more time to switch to this, and we will be doing that within the next month or two. I believe the comment period ends in February, January, end of January, so we'll be doing that. And we will definitely be encouraging the county to work with the water purveyors to address the seawater intrusion issue.
I mean, do we have a position with respect to the overdraft? And
we're against it.
Okay. but then in terms of what they do with the treated effluent, in terms of where that goes, I mean, do we have a position?
Well, that would be part of commenting on the EIR.
Okay.
The EIR is set up with a whole list of alternatives,
right.
including alternatives to deal with various levels of seawater intrusion. And those alternatives are balanced against environmental impact and cost, and there's all sorts of connections between all the various things that are affecting, cost, environmental effect, seawater intrusion, location. They all have their impacts.
Okay, so David will be reviewing the EIR and commenting on
Definitely.
It timely.
Yes.
And we'll provide a copy for the board.
Okay.
Or a letter.
I have a quick question, Roger.
It seems to me that the State Board is really involved in the Salinas seawater intrusion issue as opposed to us. What's the deal?
Well,
I mean, is it their jurisdiction more than ours? Or?
In terms of overdraft, then you get closer to a water rights issue. Actually, it's not truly a water rights issue because California only has water rights authority for, that is, they have surface water rights authority unless a basin is adjudicated. So there are, you know, several basins in California that have been adjudicated and then fall under the purview of the State Board, but it's actually by exception. The Salinas, in the Salinas, the Monterey County Water Resources Agency is reporting to the State Board every year on their progress towards solving both actually the nitrate problem in groundwater as well as the overdraft problem. But you're right, the State Board is the primary authority in terms of these overdraft problems.
The ISJ that Mr. Dugan refers to is a court agreement among the purveyors and the county that does deal with water supply issues and the saltwater intrusion.
What's an ISJ?
Interrogatory, what is it? Stipulated judgment.
Yep.
Thanks a lot, Harvey.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. We can now finish with item 34.
Correct. Item 34 is on the Scotts Valley dry cleaners.